Here in the United States, Army units just spent 2 weeks in a landscape as dry and as dusty as Afghanistan, fighting a war game that sounds like a variation on the Afghan conflict. The Army is testing new technology and preparing for future wars. In this exercise, it is the year 2007. Soldiers are searching for the enemy among Stony Hills and Mojave Desert sand. This phase of the operation begins on a scorching afternoon as a dozen soldiers sit around a map they've unrolled in the dirt.
The recommendation on the route is still Brown's Pass, and it is south.
Lieutenant Colonel Jim Caswell points at the map as he talks to the officers and squad leaders of Company A. They're working beneath a sun so bright that the sand and rubble almost turn white. They're preparing to fight their way toward a suspected hiding place for chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons.
So you got to cut south of this thing and move along here.
What about obstacles?
No obstacles. There's nothing that hindered the movement of this route.
This is the Army's National Training Center, Fort Irwin, California. But in the spirit of this exercise, it could almost be Central Asia or the Middle East. The military is fighting an imaginary nation it calls Country Red. A hostile warlord with ties to terrorists dominates the countryside. Into this theoretical failed state, the Army has sent a very real group of soldiers to test a new type of combat vehicle known as the Striker. Colonel Michael Rounds is their brigade commander.
Now tonight will be the big test, because now we're going to push them forward through a long move. They'll be moving about 25 or 30 kilometers. They will be put under a pretty significant stress tonight.
The Striker is lighter and less cumbersome than the massive tanks and vehicles that the Army designed to fight the Soviet Union. Instead of thick armor and heavy guns, the infantrymen who ride into battle in the Striker rely on information. The vehicle offers them more of it, delivered more quickly than ever before.
They actually have four screens. The one to the left is what we call a squad leader display.
Staff Sergeant Greg Juarez climbs into one of the carriers to point out an electronic map. Blue squares on the map show the location of every unit on the battlefield.
So now when they get the mission, they can pull up the map and see, all right, exactly where they're going, what friendly forces are in the area, what enemy forces.
The Striker represents the latest Army effort to lift what's commonly called the fog of war. In battles throughout history, communications almost always break down. In World War I, for example, commanders ordered millions of men to their deaths by unwittingly sending them into battles that were already lost. Brigadier General William Brandenburg wants his soldiers to know more during combat.
You spend well over 50% of your time going, hey you, this is me, where are you, and what are you doing? I have done that for almost 30 years. In this Striker Brigade, in a 10-second glance, if you are the brigade commander or a squad leader, you have already answered that question.
Sergeant Juarez says that as the vehicle nears the enemy, the machine gunner inside could kill a man that he only sees on a video screen. It's attached to a camera on the roof.
This over here is called the FCU, or the fire control unit. They're completely enclosed when they fire the weapon up top.
We're looking at a joystick. It might as well be for a video game.
Right. It's kind of plays into the fact of the Nintendo generation, if you will.
Tonight, the vehicles of A Company will attack an enemy force that's lurking in the hills. They'll play a giant game of laser tag. Every gun fires a laser beam. Every soldier and vehicle is covered with sensors. If gunfire hits a vehicle, the driver hears the bad news in his headphones.
Vehicle killed.
The soldiers have to stop the engine. They're knocked out of the war game, unless the trainers decide it would be more valuable to bring them back to life.
Resurrect.
For demonstration purposes, Sergeant Mitchell Elwood agreed to let another soldier kill him. A flatline screech from his sensors declared Elwood dead.
Close, and that's his kill.
Longtime soldiers say they've been killed again and again at the National Training Center. They learn to keep their heads down. And though it may be a game, Sergeant Elwood takes it seriously. Some of his friends have been fighting a real war in Afghanistan.
You're always training for the real fight, but it makes it a lot more realistic when you know that your brethren are overseas fighting the real fight, and you're just waiting to take their place.
Just before sunset, Sergeant Elwood's Striker joins a column of vehicles that drive across the desert. The training exercise quickly shows that the vehicles may reduce the fog of war, but it's hard to eliminate it. Tonight's operation begins with a miscommunication between command posts. Strikers roll right into the path of another Army unit, a kind of mistake that could have led to a friendly fire incident. Then, at the battalion command post, one of those sophisticated computers crashes. A few key officers lose their electronic map of the battlefield.
And right now, we have no situational awareness in the talk. We've lost our digital backbone. We're trying to reboot the system, and we're just now getting analog stood up, but we're rebuilding it from scratch because we didn't have it as a backup in the first place.
Even with the best equipment, Army Captain David Isaac says soldiers may still need to hang on to their old paper maps.
Something may go down, and you want to immediately have that old backup, that, you know, the map that doesn't run out of battery power. And same thing with your compass.
After dark, the striker column gets back on course. The strikers roll toward Brown's Pass, a strip of sand between hills that look like enormous piles of rubble. The strikers roll ahead with every light turned off. The drivers use infrared sensors to see the way ahead, and the vehicles are almost invisible. But they're spotted by the single enemy armored vehicle that is waiting in ambush among the rocks. The flash of its artillery piece lights up the night. When a vehicle is killed, a bright yellow light begins flashing on the roof. Army Lieutenant Colonel Wayne Shanks observes as flashing lights begin to fill the pass.
They just killed another one. Look at that.
At the National Training Center, the enemy force makes the game as challenging as possible for the striker forces. Until just a few years ago, the Army trained against an enemy force that fought like the old Soviet Army. Now, the opposition works more like the forces of that imaginary desert warlord. General Brandenburg says the new enemy fights in small groups using guerrilla tactics.
So you see asymmetrical threats. They've got a whole lot more civilians on this battlefield now than they ever did. It would not be unusual for us, as we sit right here, for someone with a bomb strapped on them to try to come over the wire and attack this command post.
As you change the technologies, I'm wondering what doesn't change, if there is something about warfighting that will never change.
There is a requirement in warfare when we close with the enemy that is a tough, demanding, frightening experience for the soldiers on the ground. Marksmanship, physical fitness, solid leadership, belief in each other, belief in the team, those fundamentals will exist as long as there is warfare. And we have required to close with the enemy.
In the end, soldiers must still prepare to kill or die. Just as the sun rises over the desert, strikers find a cluster of enemy soldiers defending two desert hills. Machine guns blazing, the vehicles race up the slopes. Soldiers tumble out and charge on foot. Others blast away from inside their vehicles until enemy fighters sneak up with an anti-tank missile, one of the strikers out of action. The surviving strikers counterattack. Observing the action, one of the Army trainers cries out, "This is good stuff." There is no battle line that you could draw on a map. There is no safe spot in the rear. The personnel carriers and the enemy vehicles zigzag across the hillsides like cars in a demolition derby. Even in daylight, from a short distance away, it's difficult for an observer to follow what's happening. Watching the combat to the National Training Center, you realize how priceless any scrap of information will be to soldiers fighting a real enemy in some desert far from here.